thanks for spending your morning with us here. You could have been at home cuddled up, you know, with some...
Ooh.
Cuddled up with a blanket and some hot chocolate, but you decided to brave the weather, and so God bless you for being with us this morning. This is week two in our series on generosity, and my goal in doing this teaching series is not that we would respond to messages and start occasionally giving, occasionally experiencing generosity. My heart and my goal is that we would actually become generous people. And last week I touched on that, that there's actually a difference between giving and being generous on certain occasions and actually becoming a generous person. Being a generous person means that giving just comes naturally to you. It's not, you don't have to be coerced or forced or talked into giving. It's your heart. Your heart is that you want to give. And my goal is that we would become a people who want to be generous. Who, by show of hands, would say that this world could use some more generous people? Yeah, our world could stand for some more generosity, some less selfishness and more selflessness in this world. And I just believe that Jesus is counting on the church to set the example, that we should be the ones who should be the most generous people on planet Earth. And so last Sunday, I addressed Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, on what the Apostle Paul calls the secret of being content. And if you weren't here last Sunday, I strongly encourage you to go online and listen, because if you cannot get to a place of being content, you will never get to a place of wanting to give. Because if you're not happy with what you have, you'll never give any of it away. If you never feel like you have enough, you will always have good intentions. You know, well, if I have extra money at the end of the month, I'll give some of that away. The problem is you never have extra at the end of the month, do you? And so we need to reverse that and have some heart-level disciplines in our lives where we start with giving. We make a decision to giving. And so you've heard this before, the reality that there is enough food, enough water, enough money, there are enough resources in the world right now to take care of every person's need on planet Earth. You heard that before? There's enough food, there's enough water, there's enough money. There's no reason why anyone should be living without, and yet, because of obvious, you know, geographical challenges and, you know, born in certain parts of the world that, you know, if you're born here in Canada, you were just born into a country where you're more set up for success than in other parts of the world. So the reality is there's more than enough to go around. We don't need to ask God to pour out more provision on the earth. The provision's already here. So we hear that statistic, and sometimes what we do is we take it to an unbiblical conclusion. And that sounds like this. If there's enough resources, if there's enough food, if there's enough water, if there's enough money, why don't we just take from the excess of the wealthy and redistribute it amongst the poor and the needy? And you know what that's called? Socialism. And it's not biblical. It's the whole idea of Robin Hood, right? Steal from the rich and give to the poor. And we can get caught up in that idea that if we could just take some of the immense wealth that the rich have and give it away to the poor, then we would fix the problem. But you see, we really wouldn't fix the problem. Redistributing finances will fix the problem for about how long? Anybody want to guess how long it would take for you, if someone gave you a boatload of money, to maybe go spend it if you didn't have good financial stewardship? One day, yeah, a couple hours probably, right? Just walking through, just take me to Best Buy and I'd spend it all. Redistributing finances doesn't solve the issue, because the issue is your heart. It's not how much money you have. And so socialism is not the answer. Stealing from the rich and giving to the poor is not the answer. The answer is what I'm talking about this morning, is actually cultivating a generous heart. You cannot force people to be generous. If you are forced to be generous, then you are not generous. That's profound, isn't it? If you're forced to give, you're not being generous. Nobody would ever try and convince someone that you're generous because you pay your taxes. Oh, I'm really generous. Every paycheck I get, I give. I give a portion away. I give it to the government. No, that's not generosity. They just take it from you. That's called forced giving, and that's not generosity. Nobody feels good because they pay taxes, okay? It happens because they make it happen. It's forced upon you. The issue is not forcing people to be generous. It's tapping into the heart and getting the heart to choose to be generous. So the title of my message this morning is Cultivating a Generous Heart. And I'm going to talk about the fruit of tithing and the gift of tithing and the system of tithing that God established for us. And I think that, I don't know if word got out that I was going to be preaching on tithing, and so people started praying for a snowstorm or something. I'm just kidding. But this morning I'm going to talk about the tithe. I believe the fruit of tithing is this. Fruit of tithing is this. It is the first step in cultivating a generous heart. I believe that when you tithe, you greatly help yourself begin to become a generous person. Now, I'm not saying that people who don't tithe cannot be generous people. I am saying that people who do tithe establish something inside of them that is more likely for them to be generous. Because tithing takes a decision, and it takes discipline. It takes a decision, and it takes discipline. Generous people give according to a plan and not according to guilt. Generous people, if you want to become a generous person, you will become that way because you plan on becoming generous. You don't get there by accident, and you certainly don't get there by giving under guilt. Generous people have disciplined themselves to give. Don't we love that word, discipline? We don't like that word at all. But here's the reality. In any area of your life, you will not see fruit without discipline. You will not see fruit in terms of weight loss or getting healthy without the discipline of saying no to certain foods and saying yes to certain gym memberships. You will not see fruit in any area of your life. You won't expand your thinking without the discipline of reading good books and listening to good teaching, because all that you're left with is your own thoughts. You won't become an active part of a local church without the discipline of coming to church on a regular basis. Do you know why you're here this morning? Because you made a decision to be here, and most of you have a discipline that this is what you do every Sunday. And so this is the way that everything in our lives is geared, is based on the disciplines that we have and the decisions that we make. And there's this amazing thing that happens once you begin to discipline yourself in any area of your life. There's a certain time when your motivation changes, where what began as I have to go to the gym, there becomes a moment where you want to go to the gym. Because you've begun to see fruit of going to the gym, and you don't want to miss out on that fruit. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I've never experienced that from personal experience, but I've heard from people who do go to the gym that that's what happens, where your motivation changes. Everything begins as a decision and with discipline. And this morning, I want to try and show you that giving and tithing is a gift. It's a gift. It's not bondage. It's not religion. It's not legalism. It's not harshness. It's not the church trying to get your money. Tithing is a gift. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open to Leviticus chapter 27. And I'm just going to read one verse from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27, what is happening here is God is speaking through Moses, giving instructions to the Israelites on how they're supposed to live their life. And one of the areas that he gives them this command is concerning tithing. And the concept of tithing is this, is that one-tenth of everything that is yours, of your increase or your income, it belongs to the Lord. And so, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, says this. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord. tithing is holy to the Lord. Now, I would be lying to you if I told you that tithing is not a controversial subject. People love arguing about tithing. And we shouldn't be too surprised with why that is, because it involves money. And whenever money is involved, people like to argue. Right? So tithing is a very controversial subject, and people will debate whether tithing is just an Old Testament practice. Is it a New Testament practice? Is it something that we still are supposed to abide by? Because, hey, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And so we get on into all of these arguments about the tithe, and what I want to do is be able to just bring what I believe is a biblical perspective of tithing this morning. Anybody excited about that? Some of you are just so nice to me. Thank you. Thank you for pretending to be excited. Here's the thing. If you're going to make the argument that tithing is just Old Testament, it's just Old Testament. What do you do with this when you go back to Leviticus 27:30, when God calls it holy? When God calls something holy, last time I checked, that's kind of a big deal. If God calls something holy, he's not wishy-washy about it. Like, if this would be kind of nice. Like, if God calls something holy, we can't just get rid of that verse. If tithing was holy then, I've got to believe it's still holy now, that it still matters to God. So you can't separate and say, well, this, you know, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, you know what else is Old Testament? That God calls us holy. Anybody want to get rid of that in the New Testament? I didn't think so. So you can't just pick this as an Old Testament thing and say, well, therefore we don't need to abide by it in the New Testament. So God commands the Israelites to tithe, and they give one-tenth of their increase to him. So how is this carried out? Tithe in the Old Testament, and just for a few minutes, teach on how this worked. Tithe in the Old Testament was given to the priests for three different purposes. So you presented your tithe for one of three different purposes. The first is that tithe, a portion of the tithe, was given to the Levite. The Levites were the priests. The priests received tithes because they did not have an inheritance in the land, and so they were given a portion of the tithe so that they could live, so that they could provide for their family. So we call this today in the local church staff salaries. Right? A portion of the tithe goes to pay staff so that their time and energy and effort can be spent on meeting the needs of the church, so that they don't need to be worried about going finding another job in order to take care of their family. So that was one of the three reasons of the Old Testament tithe. So the second was for the feasts. So there's seven different Old Testament feasts that the Israelites participated in every year. And, you know, sometimes we can get really spiritual when we talk about tithe, but you know what the portion of the tithes that went to the feast, you know what it provided? Food and drink and like centerpieces for the tables and just practical things for their feast, so that when they got together, they had the resources to celebrate their God and celebrate their faith and remember all the things that God had done to be faithful to them. And so what do we call this today? We call this church ministry expenses. These are operational expenses. Children's ministry, worship ministry, youth ministry, outreach ministry, vacation Bible school. We call this paying the heating bill, paying the light bill. Anybody glad we put on the heat this morning? Right? Operational expenses. This is how this takes place in the local church. And the third purpose of the tithe in the Old Testament was for the poor, the widow, the fatherless, and the needy. It was to give to those who were without, who were in a season, long or short, where they were in need. So three different areas tithe was given to in the Old Testament: priests, feasts, and the needy. We parallel those in how we run the local church today. So that was what the tithe was for and how the tithe is used today. I want to show you just how serious God is about the tithe. Turn with me to the book of Malachi in chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And you could also take a glance at the back of the offering envelope in the seat in front of you. But that'll just give you one verse. We're going to go through verses 6 through 12. Malachi chapter 3. God speaking to the prophet Malachi and bringing correction to the Israelites. Starting in verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall I return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. This portion of scripture is so fascinating to me, because what you see is the Lord is rebuking the Israelites, and what he says before he talks about tithing, he says, return to me. Return to me. What does that imply? That the Israelites have been far from him. So there's been times in your life and in my life where we can experience that we've been felt far from God. God is saying, return to me, and I'll return to you. And then he says that they ask, how shall we return to you? And the very first thing he says, tithe. Now, I find this interesting, and maybe I find this a little bit more interesting than you, because I'm a pastor, and I just find this to be very odd. Like, I would not give this pastoral counsel. If you came to me and said, you know, I'm really feeling far from God, how would you feel if the first thing I said is, are you tithing? I might not see you next Sunday. But this is what God says. I just find this so fascinating. God is not dealing with different things in their lives, and they got to rearrange their priorities. And no, he says, here's what you need to do. You want to return to me? You've got to tithe. You have got to get your heart into a position of generosity. Because when you're not generous, you're self-absorbed. And when you're self-absorbed, God can't help you. Do you follow me? Here's the thing. Sometimes we forget, because we get a little bit uncomfortable when we talk about tithing, when we talk about offerings and finances in church. Here's the thing we need to remember. God doesn't need your money. He's doing okay. God's doing really good. You know that God's rich? This is not about God needing your money. This is not about God needing your income in order to help him do the work. No, this is about God loving you so much that he knows that you are better off when you tithe. This is not a money issue. You know, God's not after your money. He's after your heart. He is not after your money. God is always after your heart. Matthew 6:21 says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God gives us the gift of tithing so that he can get our hearts. Because he knows the flaw of humanity is this: we will all be tempted throughout our lives to place our trust in money. We will all be tempted throughout all of our lives. This is not a temptation that goes away. See, some temptations go away. You fight through a battle, and then that temptation leaves you. This temptation just is here, and it's here to stay as long as we're on planet Earth. You will always be tempted to trust your money. And when you tithe, you remind yourself, every time you tithe, I trust God, not my stuff. I trust God, not my income, not my resources. You discipline yourself to do it. And here's what I believe. I believe even if the tithe, the money that was given, did nothing, like it just sat in a big pile and did nothing, I think you'd still be better off tithing. Because it shows you're putting God first. See, sometimes we get all caught up in how the tithe is used and how the church is spending the money, and all that's great, and that's why we have, you know, we got an upcoming annual business meeting where, you know, we try to be transparent, and we've got a board that governs the finances. We do all those things. But what's more important than how the tithe is spent is how tithing affects your heart. And it's a discipline that constantly keeps you in a place of relying on God. God is after your heart. The tithe is a way of us setting ourselves in the right direction of refusing to trust money. And I believe that God gave us tithing as a concept so that we would discipline ourselves to give. It's discipline. It's not fun starting to go to the gym. It's not fun starting to make those decisions, but God knows what's best for us. God then goes on to say this, test me in this. It's the only time you'll read in Scripture that God says to test him. You're in fact commanded in other parts of Scripture not to ever test him. So this is one of those interesting times where God actually says, you can go ahead and just try this out and test me. If you tithe, this is what happens. I will pour out blessings on your life. I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out so many blessings that all your needs will be met. Doesn't that sound good? If that doesn't sound good enough, he adds something else to it. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that your increase will not be affected by the enemy. Well, that's good news, isn't it? That God would actually say, oh, I'm gonna rebuke the enemy so that he is not going to be able to affect your blessing. I believe that tithing is an amazing gateway into experiencing the blessings of God. I believe that if you're a tither, you have access to greater blessing. Now, people think that this message is a means of conning people into give their money to the church. But listen, from the bottom of my heart, I'm not reading anything that I've written. This is God's word. I didn't make this up. If man made it up, they would treat tithing like taxes, and every once in a while we would up it. Yeah, it was 10%, but you know, we're going to make it 12% this year. 15%. How's 20%? No, this is not a man-made thing. This is what God established. Not because God needs your money, not because God wants your money, but because he wants your heart. And he knows that when you stop trusting money, you can start trusting him. So I want to read to you. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 26. God gives instructions on what the Israelites were to do when they tithe. Listen to this. When you have finished paying all of the tithe of the land of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within their towns and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion of my house, and moreover, I have given it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandment that you have commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of the tithe while I was mourning, or removed any of it while I was unclean, or offered it to the undead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Then he says this. Listen to this. God is telling the Israelites what to say to him, okay, after they tithe. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have given us as you swore to your fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. These are God's words. God, just think about how strange this seems. God is telling us what to ask of him when you tithe. He's saying, I want you, when you tithe, I want you to look at me and say, God, I want you to bless me. Does that seem a little odd to anyone else? God's saying, now I know the blessings, there are blessings that just happen, right? God says in Malachi, if you tithe, I'm going to pour out blessings on your life. Some things just happen, but God is not just suggesting and not just giving you permission to. He is telling you, when you tithe, you're supposed to ask God to bless you. You're supposed to actually ask him to bless you. And so for us to only place our tithe and present our tithe and give our tithe, we've only done half of the job. And this is part of the reason I wanted us to take up the tithes at the end of the service this morning is not because I'm trying to convince anyone to give more. No, you've got to give what you decided to give before you got here. And that's a whole other sermon. preaching that next week. You give according to what you've already decided. You don't let someone talk you into giving more. So I'm going to take up the tithes and offerings at the end of the service because I want to do this biblically, and I want us going forward to do this biblically. Every time you give your tithes and your offerings, don't be hesitant. Don't feel shy. Don't feel selfish to ask God to bless you because he told you to do it. He told you, God, I thank you that as I tithe, you're going to bless me. You're going to provide for me. You're going to take care of me. God actually tells us to tell him to bless us. Is that not the goodness of God? It's like telling your kids, remind me, you know, after you play your basketball game tonight, remind me to take you for ice cream. Remind me to buy you something nice. Remind me. Come on, that's a good father. That's a good mother. Remind me to be good to you. And so, I believe God established tithing to bless you. So let me just clarify a few things. This is not about legalism. This is not about any form of religious bondage. To all of those who get their panties in a knot about tithing, let me say this. Tithing is not legalism. Let me say this. You don't have to tithe. You don't. Everybody getting this? Everybody awake? You can go ahead and quote me on this. You do not have to tithe. You get to tithe. You get to. Did anyone wake up this morning and go, oh, I have to go to church. I have to. I have to. No, you don't have to go to church this morning. Look around. Lots of people did not come to church this morning. And don't fault them for that. That's fine. But you don't have to. You get to. And that's the key difference in discovering whether or not you've got generosity on the inside of you. If you give because you feel like you have to, you're not giving right. Your giving's broken. You need to give because you want to. So God is not looking for religious legalism when it comes to tithing. He's looking for a cheerful tither. And if you can't give because you want to give, don't give. Did I say that clear enough? If you don't want to tithe, don't tithe. Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I'm not here just for your sacrifice. I'm not here just for you to say, oh, look at all that I'm doing for you. No, God wants your heart, not your money. He gave you tithing as a gift to help you put your trust in him. None of us should ever give because you feel that you have to. And here's what happens. We read Malachi 3 and we go, okay, God says that he's going to pour out blessings on me and he's going to rebuke the devourer for me if I tithe. And then what happens if you miss a week and then you get into a car accident? You know what happens? You think, uh-oh, God didn't rebuke the devourer for me. So maybe there was a Sunday, you know, let's just call it April 15th, 2018, where there was lots of snow and somebody didn't make it to church and they didn't get their tithe in. And then on their way to work Monday morning, they get a flat tire. And you know what? Their flesh and the enemy is going to tell them, oh, sorry, God's not watching out for you. So we start hanging around with people who have religious ideas about tithing. And then when you have a prayer request because your dishwasher broke down, they say, well, have you been tithing? Your dishwasher shouldn't break down if you've been tithing because God should be blessing you. And you must have missed it, right? Because if you, like your tithe should, let me see your paycheck. I think your tithe should have been $122.75 and you just gave $120. I think you missed a little bit. This is what happens when you become legalistic about something and you go, oh, I rounded down. I forgot the bonus. I got a bonus. I forgot to tithe on my bonus. God, I'm so sorry. That's fear-based giving, and God doesn't want it. He wants joyful giving. He wants joy. He doesn't want you to go, oh, do I have to tithe on my tax return? Do I have to tithe on my bonus? Do I have to tithe on, you know, I just got a birthday gift. Someone just gave me $100. Do I have to give $10? We have all these questions. If you have to ask that question, God doesn't want it. The question you should be asking is, do I want to give? Hey, I just got something here. I just got a blessing here. I'd like to give. Can I give? God's looking for your heart. So is tithing a New Testament thing? I'd say, yeah, it is. I'd say it absolutely is. Not out of legalism, not out of the law. We're under grace. We're under grace. Now, people say, well, we no longer have the law, so we don't have to give. But we're under grace. Let me ask you, if they had to give 10% under the law, do you think we should give more or less under grace? You think we should be more appreciative to all that God has done for us under grace? Yeah. If anything, we should be given more because we want to give more. So I wanted to show you a few things this morning. Number one, tithing's a gift. How do they use tithing in the Old Testament? How do we use it today? Number two, you don't have to tithe. It's not legalism. It's not religiosity. You don't have to. You get to. It's something that's good for you. It's healthy for you. It's a good practice. I want to show you now that it's not actually just an Old Testament law. It actually preceded the law. So if you want to turn there, you can turn to Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis chapter 14 is 450 years before the law. This is 450 years before God gave the law, the commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, before Moses then gave the other several hundred laws to God's people. 450 years before the law. Genesis chapter 14, we read this, starting at verse 17. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him at the valley of Shavah, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And Abram gave him, priest Melchizedek, a tenth of everything. This is 450 years before the law. No commandments. No tithing was not an established system where we give to the Levite and to the feast and to the sojourner and the travelers and the fatherless and the widows. None of that was in place, but Abram was tithing. He found a priest and he gave him a tenth. How do we explain that? Now, we don't know, biblically. I don't know. I don't know if God convened a secret meeting with him and told him about the tithe. I don't know if this was obedience from God. I like to think that this was Abram out of the sure desire of his heart that he wanted to give. That he, see, I believe God places in every man and every woman this internal knowledge that we should be giving to God. He gave you life. He gave you life. You should be giving everything to him. And if you want to see a picture of tithing, back in the Garden of Eden, God actually said, you can have everything, enjoy everything, but there's actually one thing you can't touch, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think that's a beautiful picture of the tithe. That there's always been, since the very beginning, something that God has says, that's not for you, that's for me. Do you have the discipline to give the tithe to the Lord, not because you have to, but because you want to? And if you look towards Hebrews chapter 7, and I don't have time to take you there today, but you can study this out for yourself. Hebrews chapter 7 talks about this passage and says that we don't really have a priesthood anymore. The apostle, the writer of Hebrews says we have a high priest. His name is Jesus, and he is after the order of Melchizedek. Notice he does not say he's a priest after the order of Levi. If he was a priest after the order of Levi, then I would be more inclined to say, you know what, we need to tithe because this is just biblical, because it's just Old Testament, it's legalism, we have to tithe. And you better do it or watch out. But actually, the author of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said that Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And in Melchizedek's time, there was no obligation to tithe. There was a joyful desire to tithe. Abram chose to tithe because he wanted to, not because he had to. So do I believe that tithing is New Testament? You bet your bottom dollar. Pun intended. I believe it is. But you know what? You've got to make your own decision. Because I really hope you're hearing me clearly this morning. This is not legalism. This is not. I don't want one person leaving this place saying, well, you know, they're trying to get me to tithe. They just want my money. No, we want you to love Jesus. We want you to trust God. And we believe that tithing is actually good for you. It's healthy. But I can honestly say that I have never not tithed. Even before I worked, when I would get an allowance from my parents, I got $5 from my parents, I'd take 50 cents and take it to the church offering at Kids Church every week. Because my parents taught me 10% belongs to God. It's not, don't touch it. And so I've had that ingrained in me from the very beginning. Here's the amazing thing about tithing, folks. It's fair. It's fair. It's not a membership fee. It's a percentage. You give a dime for every dollar and $10 for every hundred and a hundred for every thousand and a hundred thousand for every million. It doesn't matter how wealthy or supposedly poor you are. You can tithe. Everybody can tithe. Everybody can figure out a way to live on 90% of their income. It's fair. And so to say that it must be easier to tithe, well, you know, it'd be easier to tithe if I made more. No, it wouldn't. I heard about a man in a church who approached the pastor after hearing a message on tithing, and he was really struggling. He says, Pastor, I've never heard of this before. I've never heard about this concept of giving 10% to the Lord so that the local church could be used to continue to do the work of God. I've never heard this before. And Pastor, I got to tell you, I make a lot of money. And 10% of what I make is a lot of money. I just don't see how I could do that. And the pastor says, well, you know, I'd be happy to pray with you. And he says, yeah, that'd be great. So he started praying for this gentleman. He says, Lord, I pray that you would lower this man's income to the amount where he would feel that he could part with 10%. The guy said, no, I don't want you to pray that over me. Just a little perspective. Here's a quote from a former Republican presidential candidate, Mike Huckabee. Said this about tithing. I think it's hard to say that God is first in your life if he's last in your budget. If I can't trust God with a dime out of every dollar that I earn, then I'm not sure how I can tell him that I trust him with my whole life. So let me say this in closing. Church, we're not after your money and God's not after your money. We're after your heart. God knows what's best for your heart. And what's best for your heart is to become a generous person. And it starts with tithing. Proverbs 19:17 says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. Now some would say, well, the church isn't poor. This verse says, whoever is generous to the poor, the church isn't poor. Well, it would be if you didn't give. when you are generous in your giving, I say this because I firmly believe it. God will take care of you. When you are generous with what you have, God will take care of you. And I just believe that I'm so grateful to pastor a church that is a generous church. A very generous church. And I just stand in awe of all that God has done in this church's life over these past many years that I serve a generous church. And God bless you for your generosity. God bless you for your giving. God bless you for all that you do as you give, because God sees it all. And it brings a joy for him to know that you trust him. So I want to do this as we close. I want us to stand to our feet. And I'll ask the ushers to come on forward to prepare to receive the tithes and offerings. And I just want to close by praying in agreement with Deuteronomy 27 and Malachi 3, I want to pray that God will bless you as you give to him this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your continued hand of blessing upon our lives. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place this morning. And I ask, Father, for your blessing to rest on everyone, Lord God. I thank you that they're here. I thank you, Father God, that they made a decision to be in this place and to worship you this morning, God. But I ask specifically, Father, for those who are giving and tithing this morning, Lord, and I'm asking in agreement with your word, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would bless their land, that you would bless their home, that you would bless their families, that you would bless their businesses, that you would bless everything that their hand touches, God. That your hand of blessing would rest upon every tither and every giver. Lord, that you would continue to show yourself to be a generous and abundant God to those who give to you. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Bless us now as we give. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the ushers to pass the buckets, and as the buckets pass you by, you feel free to come on forward if you'd like to be prayed over. I'll ask our prayer teams come on up to the front. And we'd love to pray with you if you're here, and we could pray with you about anything at all. But if not, God bless you as you go.